Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, and I so love sharing with you every week. There is so much interesting science going on now around wellness, around happiness, and all kinds of assumptions we've had are being upended. And we're realizing bit by bit just how powerfully our spiritual experiences, our emotions, our mood affect our bodies, and how we can have a dramatically better life if we apply some of the learning in wellness that we are discovering now in these experimental studies. As we apply these to our lives, we can see our lives shift dramatically. One of a clutch of studies recently showed that people who meditate are much better able to handle the digital world. And they have more control over, more sense of agency over their lives. And they feel as though they can navigate the digital world, and they do that much more easily. So rather than being overwhelmed by all the information flowing in through your phone, through your laptop, through the media that you consume, people who meditate have this core sense of self, which enables them to then effectively be a appropriate consumer of digital information, not get overwhelmed, and not get stressed over it all. The cool study that I picked up on recently was that when adults do this, who are parents, they provide a setting for their children. And so their children grow up. Even though the children are digital natives, their children are subject all the same emotional and psychological stressors that can come from this digital overwhelm we are in the middle of now. Their children grow up again with that sense of personhood, agency, and control over their lives that their parents have as well. So families are systems. We learned that from Gregory Bateson in the 1930s and Margaret Mead in the 1940s. Families are systems. And as you use this ability to shape your environment, as you find that core through meditation in your own life, the effects spread out into everything that you do, everything you perceive, and affects the whole system of your family. So there's so much good news coming out now about wellness, about the effect of all of these spiritual and psychological techniques on our level of happiness and well-being. I encourage you to really focus on that aspect of your life. I know there's a lot going on. There are a lot of chaotic and negative things that you can pay attention to. There's no need to dissociate. There's no need to insulate yourself from that. But if you move into that world from that core of knowing who you are, of selfhood, then you'll find you can navigate that much more easily. So use the ideas that we bring you here on High Energy Health. Apply them to your life. I also want to encourage you, as I always do for these shows, to listen with your journal or a pen and paper in hand, or a digital device if you must, to take notes, because our guests have so many wonderful strategies and approaches that you can build into your life. And taking notes will help you operationalize those and then come up with a game plan after every show for how you can apply these insights to improve your own life's journey and those around you. And one final request before I introduce our guest for today is I want to ask you to share the show with people in your life who you know who are suffering. Like, we've had guests who talk about insomnia. We have guests who talk about anxiety, depression, traumatic stress, childhood trauma, adoption trauma, all kinds of experts talking about all kinds of topics. If you know somebody who's anxious, email them a link to that show. Text them a link to that show. Share this information with people in your life. It can make a difference. So let other people know that there are solutions and that there is a wide variety of holistic and self-determined approaches they can use to improve their own health and well-being. You're going to be so excited by our guest today. And I got so excited when I was looking through her book, when I was looking through her work at her website. And she is a holistic healer. She is a psychiatrist with a private practice. She also does psychoanalysis in Newtown, Massachusetts. She's also on the faculty of Harvard Medical School and the Boston Psychoanalytic Institute. She teaches and supervises at the Cambridge Health Alliance and is the author of the new book, brilliant new book called Sacred Psychiatry. Her name is Judy Safrir. And Judy, it is such a joy to welcome you to High Energy Health.
Thank you so much, Dawson, for having me. I'm looking forward to speaking together.
I am so looking forward to sharing your story and your insights. And let's just begin with the beginning as to how and why you got into psychiatry. And then we'll move into, after that, when you began to see cracks in the edifice. Yeah. I suspect there was more.
Right. Well, how did I get into psychiatry? My dad was a psychiatrist. In his mind, it was the most wonderful thing you could do was to be a psychiatrist and also a psychoanalyst on top of it. So me and my two brothers also became psychiatrists. That was what you did. And luckily it suited me because I have my own children and I very much encouraged them to figure out what they wanted to. It has been a profession that I've been, that's really been suitable for me. And I practiced fairly conventionally as a psychoanalyst more than a psychiatrist because psychiatrists are often very involved in prescribing medications. But I was more of a talking doctor and had a practice of psychoanalysis and psychotherapy until I was about 49 years old when I had a series of losses. Both my parents died within 3 months of each other, as well as my marriage ended, and was just kind of putting one foot in front of another and reaching for the stars. I consulted an astrologer for the first time, and I was so fascinated with my conversation with her and how she could understand me from looking at these symbols on a piece of paper that I went back to see her multiple times over the next couple of years to look at the charts of various people in my family and then finally resolved that I wanted also to be able to practice this art. And so I apprenticed myself to a well-known astrologer named Stephen Forrest and then a second well-known astrologer named Maurice Fernandez. And that was kind of the gateway for me, including many different kinds of holistic approaches into my practice, including functional medicine. So really focusing upon the role that the body is contributing to our well-being and energy medicine and shamanism. And it just opened me up to including many, many different kinds of modalities.
And then as you began to actually layer those into your practice, what was happening for your patients?
Well, you know, I mean, my patients did well when I was a psychoanalyst, you know, like that they also benefited from working with me. But I began to be able to see different kinds of patients. So I began to see patients who had chronic complex medical problems and which are very often accompanied by psychiatric symptoms. And that was not somebody who I could necessarily have been helpful to previously with just talking. I began to see patients who were interested in coming off of psychiatric medicines, because these medicines can, for some people, cause tremendous withdrawal syndromes when they try to get off of them. So I learned a method of helping people wean from those medicines. And I also began to attract patients who were interested in taking a more spiritual approach to their health. Like many patients, they are hungry for having a richer connection spiritually, but they don't know how to go about it because they're alienated by the traditions that they grew up with. And so I developed a way of talking with people about different things that they could do in order to feel more connected.
And were there any, like, particularly dramatic examples of shifts and healing that you saw when you began to integrate those various approaches?
You know, especially people who come to you and they're on a lot of psychiatric medicines. I mean, they can be so blunted by the medicines and have so many terrible side effects. And when people are not having an appropriate diet, it tremendously affects their well-being. So, I mean, it became not uncommon for me to have patients tell me, I've never felt this good in my whole life. I didn't know I could feel like this. I mean, that's different than with the psychoanalysis. That didn't happen really in the same way at all.
I'm just curious, if you had a new client come, actually a series of new clients come, mm-hmm. when is talk enough, or when is talk the best approach, and when do you bring in other things? I mean, is there a way you stream patients in that way?
Yeah, I mean, people come to me for different reasons. I mean, they have different ideas about what they want. You know, like I have one man that I'm seeing now. He's another physician, and he has his diet and his lifestyle practices so dialed in, but he never talked about the impact of what things were like in the family growing up on his capacity to have close relationships today. So he and I talk, you know, like there's no, I don't need to talk with him about his diet. His diet is better than mine, you know?
Yeah. And he needs that peer-to-peer outlet, I guess, of being able to really connect and really focus on his next steps and talk things through. I'm also curious as to when you began to see the cracks in conventional psychiatry, because you say in the book that you came to the conclusion that the way we approach psychiatry is this drug-driven enterprise is really misguided. And what brought you to that?
Well, I mean, psychiatry has morphed, like, over the time from when I, even when I trained, you know, like, I did my residency between 86 and 89, and particularly at the place that I trained, there was a huge emphasis on psychotherapy and on talking with patients. These days, many psychiatrists get extremely little training in psychotherapy, and it's all about medications. And, I mean, this is not unique to psychiatry. I mean, this is the way all of medicine is, if it's not having to do with, you know, like trauma, you know, like a car accident and, you know, treating somebody in some kind of acute state of trauma or collapse. But for any kinds of the chronic conditions, like diabetes or heart disease or any of the autoimmune things, it's all focused upon pharmaceuticals. And there's extremely little attention paid to diet, to lifestyle, to spiritual practice, all of which is just integral to healing.
Yeah.
It's true in psychiatry and in other fields of medicine. It's just the paradigm is broken.
Yeah, it's a really great paradigm because we see that in medicine with this focus on external agents. When I know I studied epigenetics, and it's just really remarkable what we can do when we just change our thinking, our minds, and all kinds of downstream effects occur in our genes and hormones and neurotransmitters and so on. So people don't really appreciate the difference they can make when they just change themselves internally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that can be huge.
Do you think there's more of an appreciation for that holistic approach that you describe now in psychiatry that's starting to come into the profession? And I'm asking that question in all ignorance. I just don't know.
I mean, I don't really, I mean, of course, you know, mindfulness is, you know, people are always talking about mindfulness, but not in a spiritual way. It's more like hygiene, you know, like it's meditation is good for you, like brushing your teeth. It's not about, you know, it's not about like connecting with oneness or with something greater than yourself, particularly. It's like something that's good for you.
Yeah. So the spiritual aspect of spirituality is being lost and just the practice is being espoused.
Right. And there's almost like an allergy to the spiritual aspect, especially because, you know, everything gets dismissed because it's not evidence-based. It's not double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. And so, you know, all kinds of conventional wisdom and anecdotal experiences of many, many clinicians, if it's not in a, you know, formal study, it's not integrated into like the practice or the, you know, standard of care. It's a huge problem because who has the money to fund these kinds of studies? It's the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. And even when there is evidence, it takes a long time for it to get accepted. The first mindfulness studies were done in the 70s, and it wasn't until 15, 20 years later that there was some adoption in mainstream medicine. And I remember working on an Institute of Medicine report in, more than 20 years ago, and the Institute of Medicine, which is the U.S. government, branch of the U.S. government that focuses on medical standards and issues, they found it took 17 years for the average new evidence-based, this is an evidence-based therapy, to make it to patients. So 17 years. And they found that only one out of every five ever made it to patients, Judy. The other four were lost.
Right. No, it's extremely slow to change. I mean, there's some kind of, I don't know, saying that science precedes funeral by funeral. You know, that
Max Planck said that in the 60s. Yeah.
You know, that the practitioners who, you know, are currently in practice need to die, and then in order for some kind of new approach to take hold.
Yeah. So it just strikes me that if we were applying that same standard to our technology, I mean, imagine using your grandfather's telephone or computer. But we're perfectly okay with that standard when it comes to our bodies and minds.
Right. It's weird.
It's very weird. Andy Grove, the founder of Intel Corporation, wrote some scathing essays about how technology advances so quickly in fields like computing and automotive design and other fields of human endeavor and moves so glacially slowly in medicine.
And it's interesting because it's the good news for technology, but it's also the bad news because, you know, the speed so far outstrips any kind of wisdom or understanding about the implications.
Yeah, it does. And so now we're having to grapple those implications of being bathed in social media and huge amounts of messaging all the time, far, far more than our parents or grandparents were bathed in, and having to try and make sense of ours, who we are, and our lives in this world. We're going to go to a break right now, but please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. My guest today is Judy Safrir. Her book is called Sacred Psychiatry. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. It's great to have you here. It's great to have you voting for your own well-being by showing up here and just bathing your awareness for this hour in ideas and messages that can really help you. In this next segment, I'm going to ask Judy some questions, and I want you to have your journal out or a piece of paper and make some notes, because we're going to be talking about various dimensions of well-being, and I'm going to ask you to make a note of ones that you are paying a lot of attention to, you've got them mastered, and also ones that are a challenge for you. So as we're talking about these different layers of wellness, I'd like you to be making notes, doing some active listening, and noting which ones are, you've got those ones down, and which ones you're struggling with. So you found that as you moved away from this very mechanistic approach to psychiatry, to integrating all these other parts of the being, and not just the being, but the planet and the whole system in which we live, that this was the way to approach wellness. What are those layers and dimensions that you find we need to develop to have a full human experience?
Right. So just as we were talking about that, you know, it's not possible to feel really well if you do not pay attention to everything in terms of body, mind, spirit. So, like in terms of your body, it's incredibly important the way that you feed yourself. You need to be eating a diet that's whole foods, that's not processed, that is anti-inflammatory. You need to be not eating too much. Overnutrition can really lower your energy. It's very metabolic health is incredibly important to supporting your energy levels. So if you have low energy, you're not going to be able to think clearly. You're not going to be able to connect spiritually. So it's very important to pay attention to your physical body in terms of the way that you feed yourself. And then it's very important to pay attention to sleep. And the body loves routines. The body loves to go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time, and to pay attention to sleep hygiene and to get enough sleep. And I mean, there's studies that show that people today sleep much less than they did in the past, and you're not doing yourself any favors if you skimp on sleep. And then the body needs movement, and it's a big stress on the body when we are sedentary. So it's important to move your body. It's particularly important to get sunlight. It's possible these days for people to spend all their time indoors in front of a computer, and we need the light of the sun, and particularly early morning sunlight seems to have an effect upon our brains in terms of resetting our circadian rhythms and supporting the pineal gland, which secretes melatonin and helps with sleep. Sleep, movement, nutrition, and it's important to spend time in nature. I mean, when people have like a nature deficit. They are not spending time outside and appreciating the beauty of nature and connecting with nature. Like, it's possible to go on a walk, but just have your headphones on and listen to an interesting podcast. We need to be like present. Another thing that is very important is environmental toxins and not, you know, using like household cleaners that have chemicals in them and buying foods that are not sprayed with pesticides. So in terms of the body, that's very important. And, you know, like many people are still, you know, living with the effects of growing up in their families where there may have been challenges with attachment or trauma. So it's important to address your emotional health. It's important not to be in relationships with people who stress you. Maybe, you know, it's very common for people to partner with people who repeat the dysfunctional patterns in their family. So to really pay attention to having healthy relationships. And it's important to have a spiritual practice. And there's many different ways that that can be done. I mean, a very important one, as we talked about, is connecting with nature, where it's just, there's such a direct possibility of connecting with the sacred when you're in the natural world. But, you know, we talked some about meditation. There's, you know, gratitude practices that are very uplifting. Prayer can be incredibly foundational to a feeling of well-being. And acts of service, you know, that's also very uplifting. I mean, many people feel badly because of the medications they're taking. You know, like, that needs to be really addressed and looked at, that they would feel much better if they could find a way to not be taking those medications. Like, if they're on like a statin medication because of, that's what they've been prescribed because of their level of cholesterol. Well, you know, if they had an anti-inflammatory diet and, you know, were metabolically healthy, they wouldn't need that medicine. So
some of these medicines, many of these prescriptions are just filling in for deficits in these other areas?
Yes, and creating their own problems at the same time. I mean, if people were metabolically healthy, they wouldn't need to be on blood pressure medicines, or they wouldn't need to be just trying to suppress the symptoms. They wouldn't have the symptoms.
What does your own spiritual practice look like?
I love shamanism, so I call upon, I like to drum, I like to rattle, I like to ask for guidance, I like to consult the Akashic Record, you know, like say a prayer and then listen for guidance and write down what I get. I like to make offerings. I like to go out in my garden and bless the garden and ask for guidance and connect with my ancestors. I like to pray. I like to be aware of gratitude. I like to be of service.
That's beautiful, and sounds like this is really organic and woven into your life at this point, rather than being, I know one psychologist friend of mine was saying that her colleagues talk about spirituality like it was a hobby, like grafted on the outside rather than anything intrinsic.
I'm Jewish, and I love some of the Jewish traditions. I love to light candles on Friday night. I love to say a prayer in the morning that is a Hebrew prayer that gives thanks for the precious gift of another day and affirms that I've got this, you know.
Reassurance that you've got this. Yeah, that's powerful. So as you're listening, as you're sharing with Judy and I right now, I want you, as we go to the next break, I want you to be journaling about what supports you. Judy mentioned a whole bunch of things there that support her, and she's obviously really experimented with many different approaches and then put together a package of things that's deeply integrated with who she is and with her life. What is that package for you? And also, which things are you neglecting? Or maybe there is some, maybe you rejected your childhood religion, but there's some part of it that still really speaks to you. Maybe you realize that you are that person who's going for a walk in nature in the park and you have your headset on listening to a podcast. You aren't really engaging with nature or being present. So as you've got this list of possibilities, I want you to think about what you can integrate in your life that's going to nurture and support you. As we go into the next break and as we come back, we'll have more And again, Judy's book is called Sacred Psychiatry. Please do check it out for a sense of how all of these things are woven into your personal well-being. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about global well-being and about that, those Akashic records, about those intelligence fields, and about how we can sync ourselves up with them. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. We'll be right back after a break.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're paying attention to your own well-being. Isn't this episode packed full of ideas on how to support your own well-being? And also maybe as you've been journaling, you realized, there are some things here I really need to pay attention to that I'm not paying attention to, that I'm neglecting. And maybe the fact that I'm not doing well in some dimension of my life means I need to integrate this practice or up-level this part of my thinking or my life. So be listening actively, be journaling, and come away with an action plan. And then also, again, email this episode to people that you know need it. Text it to them. Let people know that these resources are there to support us, to give us the best lives possible. Judy, in this next segment, I'd really like to talk about the concept you have of the bigger picture, the fact that we live in a whole ecosystem, a whole world, a whole universe, and that as individuals, we're not just focused on individual thriving, we're thriving within these global and universal systems. Go ahead and share how that plays into the picture.
Well, you know, in the beginning when we were talking, I mentioned that astrology was kind of like the gateway for me to opening everything up. There's an astrologer who I love, Emily Trinkus, and she once said, and I quoted her in my book, that astrology is the apprenticeship to the mystery. And if you observe how astrology works and how real it is, and that there's a correlation between what's going on in the heavens with what is going on Earth, both collectively and personally, it's just a mind blower, and it just makes it so evident that there is much more going on than meets the eye and the five senses. And so I'm very involved with astrology. I'm always noting kind of what's where the planets are, and the book is set in the context, in an astrological context, which is we're going through this tremendous time of transition. An old world is dying, and a new world is being born. And, I mean, we can see that, you know, the new world, you know, is one that is, like, very much dominated by technology that didn't exist at all previously, and it changes everything. I mean...
Well, the time of transition, I'm really curious about that because, again, some people have talked about this. Jean Houston wrote a book called Jump Time 20 years ago about how we're entering a new renaissance. And there was a book, The Cultural Creatives in the 90s. There have been all these books pointing to this whole tectonic shift in human consciousness. And is that something you see that we're, in fact, in the middle of?
Yes, very much so. And, like, the old world is very much based on, like, the material world and, like, what we can see and what we can measure. And it's associated with the earth element, that which is tangible. And this new world is associated with the air element and the kind of interconnectivity of everything. The previous world was things were more discrete and more mechanical and mechanistic. This new world is something much more quantum. And I mean, we see that with, you know, the internet, you know, just like the way we're all like in this very surreal way connected with everybody everywhere, everything everywhere all at once. So that is one of the features of it.
But do you think that's leading to more, a better world, for want of a better phrase?
We don't know. You know, like I hope that we will be able to make use of these advances in a way that benefits the planet and benefits humanity. But like the way that we're behaving currently is we're creating like an ecological disaster and collapse. In my book, I began it by talking about a trip that I made to Africa to visit the white lions. And the white lions are a genetic kind of anomaly. And there's a Shungan legend about these white lions, and they are said to be star beings who came down to Earth in order to originally to help people during the Ice Age to survive. They taught them to hunt, and they said that once they were safe that they wouldn't come back unless people were in danger again. And now they've started to be born again. And there's a African shaman who's no longer alive named Credo Mutwa. And his interpretation of the message of the white lions is that either we are needing to get into right relationship and alignment with the natural world, or we're going to go extinct. And they're warning us. And so, I mean, I am going to put all my energy towards creating the world that I wish and know could be possible. But, like, I don't feel like it's a for sure done deal that we're going to be able to turn it around.
Yeah. So we put our individual energies into things going in that direction. And again, the big picture is one we can necessarily change or affect ourselves, but we can certainly put our own influence and energy into the world right around us, immediately around us, and make a difference there. I think that's
right.
Pretty much all we can do. And, you know,
right. And give it our all.
Give it our all. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see the world be a great place for my enormous flock of grandchildren. I'm committed to that too. We're getting to a break right now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment for more. And thank you so much for being here. You're listening to High Energy Health. We will be back very shortly.
buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. Has this been an amazing conversation? And you've probably written some notes here about all the different parts of your life and which ones you need to pay more attention to. You probably got some strategies over here. You probably got some insights about where to go next, where lines to think about along, and also things you can apply to your health and the health of those around you. And of course, email a copy of the show, text a copy of the show, share the show on social media, and let people know that they have these resources as well, and that they can really shift their lives. And just imagine Judy 1.0 having been a conventional psychiatrist, and Judy 2.0 now, and how different and how much richer her life is. And imagine us all being able to go in that direction. So please let people know about this show, about other shows and the more than 200 shows we have up online, and let them know that these changes are possible for them. Judy, I'd like to ask you in this last segment about the concept of traveling into the Akashic fields. So this is an ancient concept from Eastern spirituality, of these universal information fields. What are they? How do you experience them? And how do you bring information back from those fields?
I mean, I don't really know what they are. I mean, there's like an idea of that there is just kind of exists like some kind of information about whatever was, what is, what will be, and that it's possible for us to ground ourselves and center and to say a prayer and then to tune in and ask a question and hear an answer. And I don't know how that works, but I do find it a practice that is meaningful to me, and I feel as though I get very good guidance about anything that I would like to have some information about.
Here's an example of a time you did that and got a significant response, reply.
Well, let's see. It is something recent. So I was trying to, I wanted to get some information about a certain course of study that I was considering embarking upon. And I asked if this would be, you know, for my highest good to spend the time and energy and money getting trained in this way. And the answer that I got is that yes, that it would really further my sense of trust and my capacity to listen deeply and to increase my psychic capacities. And so I took that to heart.
And what does that answer look like? In what form does it come?
It just comes in the form of, if you do this, then you will have these results. I mean, I write as I listen. I write the answer, and then I have a record of what was written.
So you're asking, and then are you getting actual words to write down? Or
yes,
are these physical?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, actual words, actual sentences. And I'm often addressed as like little Judy. You know, like my mother, my parents were from Germany, and the diminutive in German, you add L-E, so it's like Judy-la, you know, like very kind, very benevolent, very loving.
Yeah, I know when I meditate, sometimes I feel this sense of love, Judy, like pouring into my field and being that is so vast, I can't even really begin to understand or receive it all. It's just like floating in this overwhelmingly large ocean of love.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I mean,
yeah.
How wonderful is that for you on all sorts of levels, right?
Yeah. I do feel as though we are in this benevolent, loving universe, and when we're open to it, it truly loves when we feel good and do well in our lives.
Right, and then it's very clear talking to you that you have a very elevated vibration, you know, and it pours out, you know, and it's infectious, you know, it's contagious. So it's good for you, and it's good for those who engage with you.
Yeah, we do affect those around us, and the whole phenomenon of emotional contagion and about how our emotions literally are contagious, both for good and for bad. So we will affect those around us. And, you know, our families are going to be affected when we are able to shift, and those around us will, our community will be affected as well.
Right. And, you know, like what we do have control of is ourselves. I mean, it's as much as we can. And there are, you know, practices that you can do that, you know, increase your focus and attention on what is positive and what is uplifting. And that can be very good for yourself spiritually, immunologically, stress, you know.
And so as we are looking at the end of our time together now, what are you personally moving toward in your life? What's the next chapter, the next step for you? Obviously, sacred psychiatry is a wonderful gift to the world, and you're letting people know about all the insights that you've accumulated and share in the book. What's next for you?
Well, that's a very good question. I am 67 years old, and I've been a psychiatrist since I started my training in 1986. I want to eventually devote myself to creative self-expression, and I'm an artist. I paint. I'm a gardener. I love fiber arts. I'm going to take a course this summer in poetry. And like, I have this idea for a new project that would be a set of oracle cards. Oracle cards are a divination tool. And I would like to use the Hebrew letters, which each have like a mystical meaning, and like write an essay about each of the letters and maybe a poem and illustrate it. So that's kind of where like I find myself being drawn to.
Wow. And again, that's accessing information in a whole other symbolic way other than our objective logical mind. And of course, that's what you're recommending me do, that we bring in those sources of information, intuitive information, guidance beyond what the obvious logical kinds of inputs might suggest. So what a beautiful.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, like, I mean, this is, I'm thinking that maybe I'm going to retire when I'm 72, which is in 4.5 years. And it'll be sad for me to not sit with patients anymore because it's been such an important part of my identity and there's a part of me that really loves it. But there's also this awareness of time and mortality and, you know, really wanting to like see what would happen if I would just devote myself to making things. I've never done that.
Yeah. And it's radically different from what you've done before. So who knows where it might take you. Thank you so much both for your wisdom and for your heart. Both of them really shine through your work and your being. I'm just so grateful for your work. And I know that this book is going to influence and touch many, many people.
Thank you so much, Dawson, for having me. I immensely enjoyed our conversation.
And again, I'm so glad all of you have joined us for this wonderful community event. We are uplifting each other. We are this community of practice. We are this community of connection. We are this community of love. And so as you love yourself, as you love your planet, as you love the people around you, as you let the magic who you are meant to be shine forth around you, you make a difference in your life and the lives of everyone around you. And who knows in what distant corner of the universe you might be having an effect as well. So thank you for being part of High Energy Health today. Make sure you make the show part of your everyday life. Make sure you listen regularly every week and just share it with people you know. This is a time in history where people shifting themselves into wellness and then shifting the environment around them is more critical than ever before. So be one of those white lions. Till next time, every blessing. See you then.
Epigenetics is the most exciting new field in science. It's the study of influences that turn your genes on and off. Epigenetics is a breakthrough in health and longevity, and you can learn all about it from two of the world's foremost experts. Dr. Bruce Lipton is the author of The Biology of Belief, and Dr. Dawson Church wrote The Genie in Your Genes. In a free presentation at ConsciousGene.com, they show how to apply epigenetics to boost your health, happiness, and energy levels naturally. Visit ConsciousGene.com. That's ConsciousGene.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.